Oh, hello everyone, my name is Elijah David. This is Professor of Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Today is June the 25th, 2025, or it is a full moon, first day of the fourth month. New moon Sabbath. And we have two chapter greetings, number 23. Get your heart up, keeping the commandment, the stony heart, and the carnal mind. Okay, let's see what we got here. Text for prayer. Sowers of the seed. Christ offers blessings, page 57. For the sowers of the seed, have a work to do in the preparing the hearts for the receiving of the gospel or the plan of salvation by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, and the ministry of the world. There is too much sermonizing and too little of the real heart-to-heart work. So the sowers have some things to do that the seed may not be choked with the thorns or perish because of the shallowness of the soil. Every believer should be taught that he is not merely to be saved by the Yahshua's sacrifice, but that he is to make the life of Yahshua his life and the character of Yahshua his character. They'll all be taught that they are to bear burdens and to deny the natural inclination. Let them learn the blessedness of working for the Yahshua, following him in the self-denial and enduring hardness as good soldiers. Let them learn to trust his love and to cast on him their cares. Let them taste the joy of the winning souls for him and their love and interest for the lost. They will lose sight of self, for the pleasures of the world will lose their power to attract and its burdens to dishearten. We are to pray that we shall realize that we are not saved merely by the sacrifice of the Yahshua, but that we are to strive to be like him in life and character, and as he interests ourselves in the salvation of others, our own lives will be refreshed, that we shall do more heart-to-heart work, that we shall bear burdens and deny natural inclination. Thus will the pleasures of the world lose their power to attract, and its burdens lose its power to dishearten. End of prayer thought. Keeping the commandments, the stony heart, and the carnal mind. Richard Hallett. January 17, 1948. It says our text will be in Revelation 22:14-15. I'm going to get me a big drink of water. He says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates and into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Here we see that only those who do his commandments have the right to enter the city. When the work of the salvation is finished, and the people get at home, they will be those who will still keep the commandments of Yahweh, even after sin is eradicated. Sin nevertheless cannot be eradicated while the law is transgressed, for the transgression of it is sin. 1 John 3:3-4. The commandments of Yahweh, you see, are eternal, and only when the apostolic believers begin to live the life which the word of the Yahweh advocates will they find themselves living above the law. Then only will they be free from the transgression. Finally, if the commandments of Yahweh are eternal, then they must have always existed, for the Sabbath that was made and hallowed in the week of the creation before sin came is contained in the commandments. And two, Adam could not have sinned if the commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," had not then been in existence. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yahweh forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law has said, "Thou shalt not covet." St. Paul's inspired statement places the Ten Commandments, you see, in the very framework of the gospel. Without the commandments, he declares the followers of the gospel will not know what sin is. Romans 7:8-10. But sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of the concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained as a life, I found it to be unto death. Here we see that the law does not save, but it condemns, and that with after the law there would be no sin, for the law did not save Adam and Eve, but it judged them unworthy of the tree of life and of a home in Eden. In fact, it sentenced them to death. The law is only a teacher of righteousness. That is all. It is not a savior. Romans 7:12-14. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is made good, that is good made death unto me, Yahweh forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding as sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For the people who obey the law, the state law, think it an excellent statute of the liberty. To those who delight in sin, to them the law is anathema. Any murderer who by law has been sentenced to death naturally does not delight in the law. The sinister or in the people that executed his sentence, that such a one had his own way, he would abolish the law. All criminals would do away with the law of love too, for the law is spiritual and their karma or soul under sin. What would happen if there were no law in the kingdom of Yahweh? No law against the murder and theft, or against envy and jealousy. Who would want to be in the kingdom even for a time? If such were the case, we would be better off in the kingdoms of the world. For the Decalogue, moreover, is not only a moral code, but also a physical one, for sin against the law involves the sinners, the sinners too. It visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, until the third and fourth generation, Genesis Exodus 20 verse 5. And here every descendant of Adam is naturally born in sin, is given to sin. Romans 7:15. For that which I do I allow not, but what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. Such being man's lot, the carnal man hates the law of Yahweh, and more so because it crosses his will. Romans 7:16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If one abstains from the theft, he consents that the law is good and after and effective, although by nature he might like the idea of stealing. Romans 7:17-23. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do a good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of the sin which is in my members. Here you see, we are born with the law of sin within us, and so it is absolutely necessary for the law of Yahweh to restrain us from sin. Yes, the Yahweh and his law in our mind, which we acquire only by the study of the Word of Yahweh. This is our only hope for victory over the law of sin and flesh and the flesh. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Yeshua, Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the moment we accept Yeshua as our Savior, all of our trespasses against the law of God at all. Now, I don't accept that statement. That's an old familiar statement by all Adventist ministers and everybody else. I say the moment we accept Yahshua is a first recognition of Yahshua that accepting as your Savior, the only way you have to make repentance and confession of sin and repent, and then that's the only way you accept Yahshua. Was this not the case? We ourselves would have to pay the penalty of death, from which there is no resurrection to eternal life. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Yahshua Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. They said here, the apostles introduces another law, the law of the Spirit of life. Three laws in all. Number one, the law of the Ten Commandments. Number two, the law of the flesh. Number three, the law of the Spirit of life. But this third law, let us remember, is in the Yahshua, and it makes us free from the law of the sin and death only as we be in Him. Now all of this talk about three laws and no mention of blood in any of these three laws. And Rich Hall thinks that he's teaching the plan of salvation and how to explain the plan of salvation. I don't think so. Romans 8:3-11. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against the Yahweh. For it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, not indeed can be. So, then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Yahshua, he is none of his. And if the Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is not because of the righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up the Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up the Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It is our privilege to have the same Spirit that was in the Yahshua. In fact, we must have this Spirit if we are to walk in the newness of the life, and if we are to have a part in the resurrection of the just. from the Paul's discourse, you see, that to be a Christian means to watch every step you make and to war against your own flesh, lest you willfully fall into the pit from which there is no escape. For the apostolic believer, moreover, cannot sin, for his righteousness in the Yahshua is absolutely secure. Without the blood, there is nothing secure. For the Yahshua has paid the penalty for his past sin. Well, I don't accept that either. It says, where the Christian, moreover, or the antithetical apostolic believer, moreover, cannot sin. It says, his righteousness. I have to add the privilege for his righteousness and the faith and the blood of the Yahshua of the everlasting covenant of Hebrews 10:19-20. Is absolutely secured, for the Yahshua has paid the penalty for his past sin. No, Yahshua has not paid the penalty for his past sin. If that were the case, he'd have to save everybody that's ever born this world in sin. Moreover, if he should accidentally sin again, he has an advocate to plead his case. Even the Yahshua, the righteous. Thus it is that though a righteous man falls seven times a day, he rises up, still continues the race, and finally wins. But suppose that you should have to struggle to keep the commandments of Yahweh in the kingdom. Of the hour throughout the eternity should have to struggle. As you struggle now, suppose the law of the flesh should stay with you forever. What then would you then be as anxious as you are now for a place in the kingdom? Yahweh tells us what to expect in Jeremiah 31:31-34. Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's the lawgiver, which is the house of David. Not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after their days, saith the Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahweh, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more. Here is a promise of a new contract, a new covenant. It is not the kind Yahweh made with our predecessors in the day they camped out of Egypt. For the day he wrote the commandments on the tables of the stone, and thus to keep them, Instead, he makes a new covenant, a covenant to write them on our very hearts. Then every one of us will consequently know him without having to be taught. Take notice, though, he is not to make a new law, but a new covenant. Now, let's read that last paragraph again. It says, take notice, though he is not to make a new law, but a new covenant. Well, the new covenant, I guess he taught us, is saying that that's like a new contract. That's what he said, a new contract, yeah, for the keeping of the law. For the difference is that rather than his writing the law on the tables of the stone, he will write it on the fleshy tables of the heart, the seat which the law of the sin now occupies. For this covenant, you see, is to be made with both the house of the Israel and the house of the Judah, with all of Yahweh's people. For the scripture, remember, does not say that we cannot keep the law while it is written on the tables of the stone, but it definitely says that we can, for those who broke the law are reproved for doing so. We can therefore even now inconveniently keep the commandments, though they be still written on stone. For convenience sake, most antithetical apostolic believers wish the law were abolished, and some make themselves believe that it has been abolished. Although the only law that has been abolished is the ceremonial sacrificial law, the shadow of the Lamb of Yahweh. What difference would there be whether the law be written on the stones or on our hearts? For the experience of the Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, reveals the answer. Had the king by force been made to live with the cattle in a stable or in the field, he would have committed suicide if possible. But as soon as Yahweh took his human heart away from him and put the heart of an ox in him, the king was perfectly contented to be with the cattle. And all together, this contented to live in his palace. Were the same thing done to any one of us, our desires would be the same as the king's in the like manner when the stony heart is taken away from us, and the heart of flesh with the law of Yahweh written on it put in us. We shall then find it altogether too inconvenient to sin, and most delightful to keep the commandments of the Yahweh, and so you need not fear having to struggle to keep the law of Yahweh in the kingdom, as you do now, as you do here. Now I'm going to pause. As you do here, you will then be perfectly contented to live a sinless life. In fact, you will want to sin no more than you would now want to die. Wonderful indeed. But when may we expect this miracle to take place? To find the answer to this question, we need to connect Jeremiah's prophecy with the Ezekiel prophecy of the same event. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together. A great company shall return thither. Ezekiel 36:24-28. For I will take you from among the heathen, and get you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. For the records from both prophets clearly point out the time in which this miracle will be performed on the hearts of all of Yahweh's people. Both prophets make it as clear as can be made that this change of the heart takes place in the Holy Land, Palestine, at the beginning of the kingdom which the Yahweh promises to set up in the days of these kings. It's supposed to say, in the days of these kings, Daniel 2:44, not after their days. He moreover says that he will take us from among the heathen and gather us from all the countries and take us into our own land, Ezekiel 36:24, for the land in which our fathers dwell, Ezekiel 36:28. Then at that time, says the inspiration, not before will he sprinkle clean water upon us, cleanse us from all filthiness and from all idols. Also a new heart will he then put in us, Ezekiel 36:26. He will give us his spirit and cause us to comply with his statutes and to keep his judgments, Ezekiel 36:27. Read these scriptures for yourself and see if they say all I am trying to tell you they say. Jeremiah 31:35-40. Thus saith the Yeshua, or the Yahweh the Father, which giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by the night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. For the Yeshua of the host, son of Yahweh, is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yeshua, then the seed of the Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever, Thus saith Yahshua, if the heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out in it, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahshua. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that the city shall be built to Yahshua from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gerab. And shall compass about the Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of the Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Yahweh. It shall not be plucked up nor sown down anymore forever. People can believe anything they wish to believe, but we will believe the Bible. I know that this is what the Bible teaches, and that this is Yahweh's schedule for these events. And since this is Yahweh's program for the cleansing of His people and for the receiving the new heart, our message becomes exceedingly important unto all who wish to be in the everlasting of the kingdom of the heaven here in the 12th Kabbalah Tower that we're in right now, Daniel 2:44-45, that Yahweh with His sons sets up this everlasting kingdom here in these last days, and Yahshua comes from heaven to sit upon the throne of David, Luke 1:32. We can but put our heart and soul in the work, though, and leave the results unto the Yahweh if we ever had to be all out for Yahweh and none for self. It is now. This brings to the end of a study on Time of Reading, number 23, volume 2. Well, that's the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song.